It is a joy to worship with all of you this morning. And so I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join in the words of gathering. The psalmist sings,
"Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering."
Perhaps some of us can claim to trust in the Lord without wavering, but most of us walking the path of trust do occasionally stumble or lose our way.
Here we come to find our balance, to check the map, and to step back onto the path of trust.
Here we gather to seek out the path of integrity.
Here we step together into change in our church, in our towns, in our country, in our world.
We walk together. Throughout all change, we are walking together and we are walking with God.
For your steadfast love is before our eyes, Holy One, and we walk in faithfulness to you.
Amen. As you are, I encourage you to read along with our story in your pew Bible. Exodus comes very early in the book. Don't flip very far. From the third chapter, we learn that Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, Moses, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." God said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'"
Invite the children forward.
Here we are at a change of season. September 1 marked the meteorological beginning of autumn, although we most often think of autumn beginning at the time of the autumnal equinox on September 22. We are at a change of season as we experience the beginning of a new academic year. Many of you recently began a new grade in school or moved to Juniata as a freshman. Some of you returned as experienced college students, and we can't forget the teachers and professors in our midst who began the new academic year too. And we are keenly aware of the change of seasons in the life of Stone Church. The 18-year pastorate of the Dowdies has ended. We experienced a healthy goodbye last week, and we are stepping farther into the change of seasons at Stone Church. We are grateful that Annalisa has provided steady leadership for the past 15 months alongside Christy, and that she remains in these few months of transition. We anticipate visiting with the invited pastoral team in 2 weeks, and we wonder what Stone Church's ministry in the future will look like. We are in the midst of many changes of season. Change and transitions can be messy, a little or a lot scary. Our self-doubts may rise in these transitions. Our anxieties may grow and deepen. You may be in other personal changes or transitions, health challenges, anticipating a job change or retirement, an adjustment in family dynamics. One of my personal changes of season is that of moving into more management for my aging parents. I find myself in the midst of doctor's appointments, medicine organization, and other management. There are moments when I want to return to the days when my dad could easily sling a hay bale or back a tractor and wagon into the barn with inches to spare on either side. Or when my mother was an excellent gardener, preserver of food, and pie baker. But the seasons have changed, and I have stepped into a new role. We may say we just don't want to go through whatever change or transition may be coming, but life flows on, and change and transitions keep on coming, often challenging our faith. In our scripture this morning, God called Moses to change and step out in faith. You know the story of Moses, born at a time when the Hebrew male children were to be killed at birth. His mother placed him in a papyrus basket coated with tar and pitch to prevent water seepage and placed him in the reeds of the River Nile. He was rescued by the Pharaoh's daughter who raised him. But one day when he was grown, he witnessed the abuse of his people, the Hebrews, at the hands of the Egyptians. And in a fit of anger over the abuse, he killed the Egyptian. Knowing that his crime would soon be made public, Moses fled to Midian, where he was invited to the house of Jethro. Moses adjusted to the obscure life of shepherd caring for Jethro's flock, marrying one of Jethro's daughters and raising a family. Now, I suspect that Moses found some comfort in this quiet and predictable lifestyle following the drama of the earlier seasons of his life. On a day that began as all others, Moses was unexpectedly called to change and to step out in faith. Can you imagine what Moses felt and thought when he saw a burning bush in the sheep pasture? As he neared for a closer look, he realized the bush was burning but not being consumed. God told Moses to take off his sandals, for he was standing on holy ground. This was a holy, life-changing moment of call. In the midst of this spectacular, mysterious, and breathtaking sight, God made it all the more challenging by calling Moses to change, to step out in faith. "Come," God said, "and go, bring my people out of Egypt." God asked Moses to change, to leave his comfortable life as a family man and shepherd of his father-in-law's flock and to go and bring God's people safely out of Egypt. Now, Moses wasn't sure he was ready for this change to which he was called, and he had a few questions. One that isn't recorded in Scripture, but I think Moses must have thought is, if you can speak through a burning bush, which isn't being consumed, why don't you bring the people out? But Moses asked, who am I to do this? And God answered, I will be with you. Moses then asked, who are you? And in one of the most cryptic statements in the Bible, God says, I am who I am. Moses continued his questions in the scriptures and what follows, what we didn't read this morning, saying, what if they don't listen? God answered, when I'm finished, they'll listen. God counters by saying, I've never been a good speaker. And God replied, who made your mouth? Moses tries one last time. I know you can find someone else. But God answered, I will let Aaron, your brother, go with you, but I am still calling you to go. So Moses was called to change, to step faithfully into that change with God's assuring words, I am with you. Most of us are in a season of change in our personal lives. We've talked about the seasonal change to autumn and the academic year, but there are so many other changes, seasons of change. Facing into a job change or retirement, hear God's reassuring words, I am with you. In the midst of the challenges of raising a family, say them with me, I am with you. Facing into unknown health challenges, I am with you. The dynamic of family change, I am with you. Trying to understand and cope with the state of our country, I am with you. Journeying into this pastoral transition, I am with you. Stone Church has a rich history of answering God's call to change. The beginning of the Brethren in Huntington, not yet named Stone Church, occurred in the mid-1870s with 11 people. Dr. Andrew Broombaugh and his cousins John B. Broombaugh and Henry B. Broombaugh moved from James Creek with the intention to publish The Pilgrim, an early church publication. For a while, they returned to James Creek for worship, but felt the call to develop a worship opportunity in Huntington. Their solution was to repurpose a first floor room in the Pilgrim Building as a worship space. The Pilgrim Building still exists on the corner of Washington and 14th Street. H.B. Broombaugh wrote, we fixed up a room in our publishing house, had it comfortably seated, a neat pulpit made, and carpeted the aisle. When through with it, we had a very cozy, comfortable, and quite attractive church house. As they moved to Huntington and established this small faith community, they heard the words of God, I am with you. And continuing to hear God's call, in 1878, the Huntington Brethren organized as a separate congregation with a membership of 35. I am with you. Needing more space, they met in the college chapel, which was over in Founders Hall. I am with you. The late Don Dernbaugh described this vision of the early Brethren of Stone Church, an unusual convergence of religious, educational, and publishing enterprises marks the beginning of the Church of the Brethren in Huntington. This intertwining reflects the varied visions of a handful of early Brethren to whose courage and initiative we owe much. Those early Brethren stepped faithfully into change. From the diary of W.J. Swigert, who was grandfather to John and Chick Swigert, we learn more about the faithfulness of those early Brethren. In 1903, the deacons presented a request for the consideration of the building of a church. In 1904, the treasury has $18.50 as a nucleus of a church building fund. That is really stepping faithfully into change. The groundbreaking for the new church building was May 1909. And challenges and difference of opinions emerged in the process, as an entry in the diary in 1910 says, the sisters of the church would feel like giving more if the tower was made somewhat higher. Our Stone Church predecessors answered the call to radical discipleship, and their vision of a church building became reality when the building was consecrated in 1910. And the pulpit that you walk through, when you see when you walk through the narthex, has the plaque, 1910. It was the pulpit in the when they first used this church. We have preached, worshiped, taught, served, welcomed, cried, and laughed together in this building and beyond these walls as a faith community. And we will continue to do so as we step into this season of change in the life of Stone Church and in our personal lives. The Stone Church roots of faithfulness are deep. The years of Stone Church providing spiritual nourishment so that persons can deepen their roots of faith are many. The faithful ministries of the Stone Church community enable this spiritual enrichment to occur. One of our ministries that is near and dear to my heart is that of the Prayer Shawl Ministry. Even though most of you do not stitch with the Prayer Shawl Group, you bless and support this ministry as it is an outreach of the Witness Commission and Stone Church. I want to share with you a brief story of the effect of this ministry. Several years ago, Floyd McDowell arrived at my door with a bag in hand. As he gave the bag to me, I recognized the navy blue yarn, and I knew he was giving me the last prayer shawl that Lois had made prior to becoming too ill to knit. This was a holy ground moment. I offered for Floyd to keep this shawl in memory of Lois, and he refused, saying he wanted to give it to the prayer shawl ministry. Our group discussed what to do with this shawl, as our own grief from the death of Lois was still raw. We determined that we would hold on to this shawl for a while and would not give it away until the time felt right. Earlier this summer, I came across that shawl and I knew the time had arrived to give it away. I immediately felt led to take the shawl to annual conference and give it to Kim McDowell, Floyd and Lois's daughter. When I saw Kim, I told her I had something I wanted to give her from Stone Church, and we set a time to meet. When we gathered, I pulled this beautiful navy blue shawl from the bag, held it, and said, "Kim, this is the last shawl your mother made, and we want you to have it." Kim's eyes filled with tears as she lovingly received the shawl. This was a holy ground moment. You see, the timing was exactly right to give the shawl to Kim at this point because she had just placed Floyd into assisted care. That placement broke her heart, but she knew it was the right thing to do. It was the right time for this move. Giving Kim the shawl her mother made several years ago and this amazing outreach of Stone Church's ministry was a holy moment, demonstrating the love of Stone Church and our belief that God's love is forever with us, allowing us to move confidently forward into whatever change we face. As Annalisa highlighted, our emphasis this fall is on the mission and vision statement. Stone Church seeks to be a Christ-centered community in which all are spiritually nourished, equipped, and empowered to continue the work of Jesus peacefully, simply, together. We can hold true to this vision and mission with the assurance that our roots as a congregation are strong and deep. From the originators of the Huntington Brethren congregation in the 1870s to this gathered body in 2017, We hear the command to step faithfully into change with the assurance of God's ever-present, ever-constant presence. Stone Church is in a season of change, but God says, I am with you. We are assured of our sturdy roots, our spiritual nourishment, which has been rich and continues into the future. We are blessed by generations of faithful servants before us, and we continue a faithful ministry into the future. With the strength of our deep rootedness and the assurance of God's never failing presence, whether as a faith community or in our personal lives, with whatever change we are facing, we can step faithfully into change, holding fast to God's words, I am with you. Amen.